Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Teresa and America.
Hi, guys.
We're here in the open, and today we're going to talk about my brain doesn't work anymore.
I joked around with Teresa that today's podcast is just us going to be sitting in silence, but we won't do that to you.
But we cannot promise the quality of this podcast, because even as I'm recording, I am absolutely certain I have no idea what the hell is happening.
So my brain works a little better, I think, today. So I'll frame this conversation for us a little bit. I think both of us have gotten to a place where we feel like our brains, our energies are completely spent. But the notion of our brain literally not working is connected, I think, to the inability to continue to process information.
Yeah. This happened because America was trying to tell me something and I just was like, brain does not compute. I'm seeing movement in her mouth and I'm just like, I don't. And she was like, oh, so what do you think? And I was like, nope.
System errors.
Nope. I tried. I couldn't execute. Nope. Abort.
So why do you think that's happening?
I'm trying to think of when I felt this way. And like when these things happen, it's a kind of a trauma in and of itself, like for your brain to go in this space. I'm like, oh, I know these things have happened before. Moments like this where I was so, my brain overworked itself so much that it was just like, shut down. There's no more space for you to basically do anything. But I have been working nonstop, and not just working, like a stressful kind of working.
Okay.
Big projects, big stress. On top of that, you know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. So I'm trying to like deal with, support my husband and be there for my children and not be an awful human being. And I don't know if I'm sleeping well, and I'm still using medication for sleep. And it's like, is it like, so with this conversation with you, like 5 minutes before we started having this conversation, I now have a headache. So I think I've told before, like when I get overloaded, my body starts to react, and a headache, which, you know, I'm counting down the minutes for when it turns into a migraine and I have to go crawl under a blanket, is normally my sign.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. I completely am in a similar space. I have a headache. I have a slight headache and I feel it growing. So I know that I'm going to have to take some medication to help me if I do not want to vegetate the entire rest of the day. And a lot of it, I think, is connected to what you're saying. Like, I stick on the word of being overwhelmed, but it's more than overwhelmed. It's not overwhelmed. It's my brain capacity to process, think, remember, take in information, process that information, make a cohesive sounding sentence is too much.
You're broken. Yeah. Your brain was like, screw you. I'm a computer. You went and overheated me. I'm going to break to survive. And I think that's what the brain does. It's like, oh, no more. You literally cannot force me to exercise anymore. It's like the version of a muscle spasm.
And it makes me feel so bad for the way I'm treating my brain and myself.
Well, you can only beat it up so much, right? And I feel like, and I don't know about you, if you relate to this, but like, I am so grateful that right now I'm not in the middle of a depressed episode.
Because
in some ways, like in the middle of a depressed episode, when you have brain fog, that's that feeling. It's a little different, but my brain doesn't work like when I'm in a depressed episode too. But if I was in the middle of a depressed episode and I tried to continue to work as hard as I did, my brain would be like, no. So I'm grateful that I'm not. So I can differentiate between like, oh, what does it feel like to fry my brain when I'm in a baseline or like a functioning state versus like fry my brain when I'm in a depressed state? Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Part of it kind of connects to this idea of functioning on automatic. In the times of commuting, I remember like driving home, where at one point I had probably about like maybe a 50-minute commute to an hour commute, and you don't even realize how you got home, you know? You're just functioning. Your brain knows what to do. Your body knows what to do. And you just get home and you're like, what? And that's how I feel now without the commute, where I'm just like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing X. I'm supposed to be responding to this email. I'm supposed to be talking to this person, and I'm supposed to be smiling and look like I'm listening, but I'm really not here.
Yeah. I think that those higher, I'll call them higher order functioning, like your brain's higher order functioning is to be social and to process complex ideas. And when you overwork your brain so much, it has to shut down that space so it can do things like breathe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Dude, alive. Yes. I'm breathing. Hey, your heart is beating. You can walk one foot in front of the other and take a poop. I'm just going to divert energy and basically keep you alive. But all that higher order stuff, screw you. I killed my brain. It needs to go rest.
It makes me think about like an hour ago, maybe 2 hours ago, I was sitting in front of the computer. And for a moment, I was like, and I took a deep breath. I was like, hello. Can you breathe? You gotta breathe. Like, what's happening? And I like stood up and like, you know, walked around the house. And I was like, okay, you gotta get out of the house. You gotta do something to like get your brain moving, thinking, processing. And I literally took a drive because I was just like, I can't. I gotta do something.
So if you're working on your RAP plan, your wellness recovery action plan, you would be like, okay, mental note, when my brain overloads and it stops working, I stop breathing. When I do that, that's my red flag. I need to go take a drive. I need to go take a rest.
Do you also feel disjointed, like a misconnection between your brain and your body? Because that's how I feel.
Oh, yeah, I'm two steps away from dissociation. For sure. Is that what you mean?
No, not dissociation. More like, my body just feels heavy. My fingers, I just feel like they're extensions of something else, not really my body.
I mean, I think I can relate to that by, I do dissociate where I don't feel like my mind and my body are connected.
Okay.
If I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh, the weight, that's, I feel like I'm connected to the weight of my body when I'm depressed because my body feels heavy.
You talk about like the work stuff that was going on and maybe still going on, plus life, husband, children. On my end, I feel it's life, work, school, children.
Repeat.
My own self-care that at some point I'm supposed to take care of myself, that I'm just like, do I have to do that? Like, that's how I feel. It's so bad. I feel so bad feeling this way too, because I want to be able to have energy, but it gets back to what you're saying. Like, my brain just at this moment does not have the capacity to do what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. So I got to be able to be like, I told you, it's like, I'm going to say I'm not going to work the rest of the day because I just need to sit and not do anything.
Yeah.
Because who knows, maybe I send some random email. It's like, with some random words, it's like, does this even make sense?
Oh, I was writing sentences to you that missed words. I started to do something and couldn't remember what it was I was actively doing in that moment. And I had to look at it. And then sometimes if it gets really bad, you could look at a word and be like, is that a word? Do I know what that word means?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know? And you know how like your brain kind of does that sometimes where you're like, tree, tree, tree. Tree's not a word.
Yeah.
But then when you're burnt out, you're like, you do that a lot more where you're like, tree, I don't even know what tree means.
There's this video I saw the other day that's like, this one person is like, what does Y-E-S spell? What does it spell?
Yes.
Bad. What does E-Y-E-S spell? Right? And the person's like, huh? What do you mean? What does that mean? Yes, yes. Like, yes. No, what does it spell? And that's how I feel like my brain is. It's like, wait, why is this so difficult? And then, you know, your brain is literally trying to like run circles to figure out like, wait, I know I can process this. I know I can do this.
When your brain doesn't work anymore because you're exhausted, I think there's a part of me in my non-mental health state where I'm like, this feels okay because I know I'm overloaded and what I need to go is take 2 days off and just sleep and take care of myself. And I have hope that it's going to get better. What's hard is when you're in the middle of a depressed episode or what people are dealing with, brain fog and COVID brain, is that you don't know if it ever ends. And I can look back when I'm in the middle of a depressed episode or what feels like a very long episode and having fear that I might never get my brain back. That was awful.
No, that's really scary because it makes you question, I think, yourself, right? Like your ability, yeah, to be able to just, I think about the bounce back factor, you know, like today's not the greatest, tomorrow's going to be better. I think we do a disservice if we tell people, oh, tomorrow's going to be a better day. Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always mean it's a better day. You may have small little wins that can help you feel like you're maybe being more productive or something like that. But it doesn't always make it better. And I also think when you talk about this idea of like our brain, for me, there's two distinct kind of aspects. One is the brain that is coping with exhaustion. And the other one is it's survival mode, what you were talking about. And they're kind of linked together, but at the same time, I think they exist separately. Because it's what you're saying. For a lot of folks, maybe you are dealing with a lot of things, but within this time frame, there's so much that we're taking in, whether it's like through work, through school, through managing your relationships, through the news, and you're just being bombarded. And you can't process. You like literally are reaching this wall that is just like, boom, in your face, stop. And then the other is the exhaustion piece where you've pushed yourself to the breaking point where you're talking about that muscle fatigue. And, you know, when you're like lifting weights or whatever, they say push through that muscle fatigue because that's the best kind of placement for your workout. You can't do that because the next step that you take could be like a complete falter and be like on your face.
I think that's right. So I think for most of us, we operate on waves of productivity and exhaustion for like most of our lives. And then once in a while, something like this happens and you are experiencing a lot of trauma, change, grief, divorce, et cetera, that moves you into your survival mode. Mm-hmm. And as a collective, because of a pandemic, for example, we have been experiencing a lot more of that survival mode status. And for a lot of people, especially for those of us at risk for mental health challenges, you know, we're on guard for, because I think we know what that feels like to be on survival mode for so long that your brain breaks. That's the distinction between like, oh, I'm just exhausted, I need a break. And no, your brain has been on survival mode. It means you do only have the energy to try to do what you can or allocate the energy to breathe. That's survival mode, right?
Yeah.
And that's why that's like the next level. And basically your brain breaking is the next iteration of that experience. Your brain and your body are working together to be like, you can only be in survival mode for so long before your brain is going to force you to do nothing to survive.
God, it sounds like a horror movie when you describe it like that. But
I mean, that's what a lot of people do experience, yeah, right? Like, yeah. It is horrifying. And in some ways, this version of like brain fog or when your brain doesn't work anymore feels like being trapped in your space where you're like, what's that one disease where you're like trapped, your body doesn't move, but you can think? I feel like that's the opposite version. It's like my body is moving, but my brain is not thinking. Am I basically trapped in my body with a non-working brain? And is this going to be the rest of my life?
But I also feel part of what happens when our brain is exhausted and it's tied to a survival mechanism of some sort, mm-hmm, is our ability to catastrophize whatever it is that we are feeling.
Yes.
Right. It's so much easier.
I think we should transition. I think the catastrophizing feels like the last part before we were like, okay, well, what can you actually do? Because they're kind of tied. Like, you're right. If I can tell a discernible difference when my brain literally shuts off and when I gain enough energy to start catastrophizing again. So, and right now, if I'm like, I'm not catastrophizing, I'm just talking, but if I took a rest, I bet I could start catastrophizing again. And then my anxiety brain entering the space would tell me that I recouped enough energy to return to my baseline of anxiety brain. Does that make sense?
Return to functioning. Yeah.
Yeah. Functioning, but anxiety for sure. Right.
Yeah. But see, when you were talking about like that crux that exists between hope and kind of a state of grief, catastrophizing sits like right on the edge of both of those, because it's so easy to go in either direction. And this, it's like a teeter totter, you know, and you're just like, okay, I don't necessarily have enough power to not negate all these terrible thoughts that I'm having. And it just goes down that path. And then, so it takes that hope away because the catastrophizing occurs. But at like the core of what my feeling is around this is trying to figure out what I can do to put a Band-Aid on it and mend myself to a place of function again.
I don't feel the same amount of distress at feeling this way, because I feel like somewhere in my brain, I'm like, you've been here before. You're gonna survive.
Yeah. Completely, dude.
Like, and then I need to go take a rest. I probably will try to be a normal human being, but I will physically pass out. And after that, I will have enough energy where I'm like, I can either do what you're saying, like, oh my God, I need to go take care of myself. Or you have a choice where you're like, or I can engage in bad coping mechanisms like drinking, or I can go keep trying to push my brain to work harder, even though it already told me that it didn't after only 2 hours of nap, right? So I have been in a place where I've been at this, at the other side of a 2 hour exhaustion collapse, and then wake up and be like, okay, I'm at a path decision. Which direction am I going to go?
Yeah. You know, the time that I think about where I'm overloaded, and it's not just my brain, but physically, it's really during our conference times, you know, in normal frames of reference, where we have a conference every year, and it would be an in-person conference, of course. And we start working, you know, weeks, months in advance, but the week of the actual conference, we're up like 5:30, don't go to bed until like midnight, 1 o'clock, and you're just pushing all day.
Every day.
Yeah.
For 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're reminding me. Conference does do that to us.
Yeah, it totally does that.
And after conference, our entire staff dies for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, because
and then it's like rising from the grave.
Yeah. It also makes me think about like times when I've been in like other environments during crisis, you know, where your body is just processing, responding as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, you just crash. And in working with like with folks that work in the healthcare space and like that, you know, that's often how they're managing. They're just like going about their day, pop, 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 right? Every day.
Crisis survival.
Yeah. And then they may come home and it's just like, feed me, done. That's it. That's the only preoccupation that exists. And I'm just going to sleep for 27 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing everybody needs and what your brain needs is sleep.
Yeah.
Period. You need rest. Your brain is a muscle. It can only work so hard. And that's why sleep is so essential.
I completely believe that. And I also say rest without having some sort of technology in front of you.
Stimuli. Yes. Yeah. Real, meaningful rest and sleep and good sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep first.
Sleep. Rest.
Then what do you do next?
In an ideal world, I don't do anything. Like I listen to like music or something, but I don't want to have my phone in front of me. I don't want to have the iPad, the tablet, anything. I just want silence, really, not even music. I just want silence, because that helps me just kind of center my thoughts enough that I can, one, get to a place where I am resting my brain from having to process information. And then two, maybe it gets me relaxed enough where I can fall asleep. Because it's tied together.
I love that you didn't just move on to the next thing. You were like, no, sleep is one part, but active rest and mindfulness or presence is a big part of real rest.
Yeah, you know that you taught me this technique where, and something that the military does about relaxing your eyes, relaxing your face. You know, you remember you taught me that?
The military method for sleep, yeah. Yeah, it's a combination of mindfulness and then body.
Mind-body connection?
Yeah, there's a term for it in mental health where you like work through the different parts of your body and basically start from the top down and like just like feel what it feels to be tense and then feel what it is to be relaxed and just like relax your body intentionally. Every part, your neck, your arms, your legs, take deep breaths.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do that.
Yeah, I think that if all that you were able to do was sleep and do intentional rest and relaxation, that's a big part of it. I think that's why a lot of people like yoga, right? Because you're like, okay, I can't do anything, but what I can do is show up at this class and this teacher here is going to tell me exactly what to do. And it's not running, it's stretching.
Yeah.
And then not hardcore yoga. I'm not talking about like, oh, sit on your head yoga. Like maybe it should be called Pilates, right? Because yeah, the Pilates is the one where you just stretch. And you're like,
no, but the aspect of yoga, it's like there, it's not just the exercise, it's the mind body spiritual connection that you're getting. And one of the things that you do at the end of yoga is a Shavasana, I think, where you're like, you just lay there.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite part. No expectations. No, you don't need to move your leg here, nothing, your arm. You just lay there and rest. I think too, though, Teresa, one of the things that I take away from this is also an ability to tell other people, like, I can't do this today. Not today. Maybe tomorrow.
I feel like by the time your brain is broken, I can't even tell that to people anymore. I had that opportunity 2 days before my brain broke. I should have been saying no. It's like my brain was like, well, screw you. You didn't say no. So now I'll do it for you.
Hmm.
And that's where conversations like this at work where you were trying to ask me an actual real question, I was just like, I don't even know what you said.
All I hear
is, did you use English words? Yeah. Wah, wah, nothing. Wah, too bad. I'm like, how long are you going to do that and pretend like you're operating? You know, you kind of like, yeah, I'm going to show up to this meeting and just be like, yeah. Like, no, my brain doesn't work.
Yeah.
So yes, you need to say no. After taking enough sleep, you basically wake up from this space and you have a choice. You could go back to what you have to do and make your brain keep working hard. Or I know that I'm a little better because I'm like, okay, well, let's get back to work. Or I'm like, oh, okay, let's enjoy life, have a drink. Or, you know, like to me, I call those bad coping skills, or ruminating is a bad coping skill. So I have these, it's like, oh, my brain works enough where I get to make these choices to go back to some old bad behaviors. And I will just say, after 30 years of working on my mental health, I've recognized that after a major brain break, the only time I take care of my physical health, meaning specifically for me, eating well, is after my brain breaks. So you and I talk about how we have this really bad relationship with food. And I'm going to say that the only time I eat well is after my brain breaks, because I am so invested in getting my brain back to functioning that it's the motivator for me to be like, go eat your probiotics, go eat your vegetables, stop eating chips. You know, well, don't eat 20 bags of chips. Like, you can't only eat chips. Like, did you get vegetables? Did you get yogurt? Is the food you're eating good brain food, or is it trash brain food? And when I have enough awareness, that's where I'm like, oh, I see it now. I can be at a point where I will continue to kill my brain. Or I have to make better choices. And that includes food habits.
The awareness piece is very important, though, in this process. When you have the capacity to do it and really think about what led you to this space, I know that I've gotten better at giving myself, like, not overloading. I know that I've gotten better. I've gotten way better. Doesn't mean that doesn't happen like it's happening today, but I now know, like, I'm not going to schedule so many things in one day where I just feel like completely done, you know, in the afternoon. So it's all connected to then being able to then integrate that back into whatever the process is that we're feeling. So we're not just immediately back into that space.
Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, if your brain breaks, it's the ultimate red flag, I think. It's like you really have to pay attention and say, this is the point where your brain is telling you you need to make some kind of change. You cannot keep scheduling the meetings. You cannot keep looking at this project and think that you're somehow going to see it differently or finish it. You know, you have to take a step back and help fix your brain and fix your whole body enough that you're not going to be in brain breaking stage.
I also think we're women in our 40s.
God, America.
That was really funny how it sounded. But yeah, we're women in our 40s. But what I think about is also there are so many ways in which this can play out for all of the people that are around us, our friends, our colleagues, our family, our kids, where we as adults are like just pushing and pushing. And our kids are in the same space where it's just too much every day. So you got to recognize that you're not the only one. And dude, if need be, like give yourself, give your people. That's what, yeah. Give your people an opportunity. Just be like, yo, I can't today.
Oh my
gosh. I can't human today.
Yeah, for sure. Most days I'm not adulting, but today I can't human today.
Yeah. No expectation here. So take it easy. Do what you can to help yourself. That's all we can say.
Fight in the open.
Yeah, people. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.